This is Warning Radio with Dr. Jonathan Hansen, founder and president of World Ministries International, a non-denominational end times ministry dedicated to fulfilling a divine commission to trumpet forth warnings from God concerning the imminent second coming of Christ and the impending judgment of God upon the ungodly. God has sent Dr. Hansen to many nations of the world with a solemn warning to the political and religious leaders and citizenry to repent of their sinfulness and wickedness or face the catastrophic judgments that will soon be unleashed upon the unbelieving world. Listen now to the warnings of our compassionate and merciful Creator conveyed through His faithful prophetic spokesman, the host of Warning Radio, Dr. Jonathan Hansen.
This is Jonathan Hansen. I'm the president of World Ministries International, as well as Eagle Saving Nations. My website is worldministries.org. I'm going to talk today about Passover. Now, the Passover is in the spring feast. It's called the Passover season. Spring feast consists of Passover, unleavened bread, and first fruits. In the summer, Pentecost, the power of God. In the fall, we have trumpets, atonement, and tabernacles, all called the tabernacle season, a meaning for each one of it. But Passover changes our position with God, gives us peace. Jesus' blood gives us justification. No longer enemies of God because of sin, but friends with God. Because Jesus made us justified. He made us righteous because of His blood, which He voluntarily shed to cover our sin. Now, we must understand too, the Gregorian calendar, the lunar calendar, over 11 days difference between them. That's why every year Passover is celebrated on a different day, never the same day. Historical background. Passover was the first of the three seasons I just shared. Unleavened bread, first fruits, Passover. Seasons, then Feast of Pentecost, and then Tabernacles in the fall. In Leviticus, if you want to look at Leviticus 23, 4 through 5, says, "These are the feasts of the Lord, holy convocations, which you shall proclaim at your appointed time. On the 14th day of the first month at twilight is the Lord's Passover." Now, the Passover was a memorial to the Hebrews from their deliverance from Egypt. Why does it apply to you and I as Christians? Because we want to remember what God had done. What He done in the past, He can do in the future. The plagues of God in the past, plagues of God are coming in the great tribulation in the future. How did they escape the plagues? They were right with God. They followed the instructions of the word of God through Moses. They stayed under the blood with the death angel. How are we going to escape the plagues of God? Are we going to be right with God? Are we going to be a friend of God? Are we going to stay under the blood? Are we going to be running from God and subject to the plagues? So the Passover was a memorial to the Hebrews, so they never forgot the miracles of God. Now we're grafted in to the Hebrews. We are grafted in as Gentiles. We want to never forget what God has done in the past because He can do it today. And we have seen His miracles if you walk in revival, if you walk in Pentecost. You see His miracles everywhere you go. So God chose Moses as His instrument to lead the Hebrews out of bondage. Working through Moses, God sent 10 terrible plagues. Exodus 3 through 10. It was to convince Pharaoh to let him go. But each time God sent a plague, Pharaoh hardened his heart. What does that mean? That means if the Holy Spirit is speaking to you and you don't receive the word of God through the Holy Spirit, your heart is hardened. Your heart is hardened. Your heart is hardened. If we keep hardening our heart, one day He can't convict us. The Holy Spirit has left us and we're the walking dead. That's the danger. You know, if you're under God's government and you're spoken to, but you don't want to listen. Your heart is hardened. Your heart is hardened. What does it take? A plague of God to break your heart? A catastrophe? The death angel? See, these things are serious. We should not let our heart become hardened. God gave Pharaoh every chance to let the Hebrews go, but Pharaoh would not. Then he declared on the 10th final plague, the death angel. The firstborn of every family, Exodus 11. But along with this decree of death, God gave specific instructions how to be saved from death. He gave him, the people of God, gave Moses instructions what to do so the people would stay under the blood and the death angel would not enter the house. So let's summarize what God said. Every man was to select for his household a lamb without spot or blemish. He was to select the lamb on the 10th day of the month. Then he was to observe his lamb for 5 days to make sure there was nothing wrong with him. There could be no fault, blemish found in the lamb. Now, for 5 days they inspected the lamb. Now, we're going to get where you read how Jesus entered Jerusalem, and for 5 days he was tested as the Lamb of God, and they could find no fault in him, and then they took him before Pontius Pilate. So you can see how these things are going to line up. On the 5th day, he was to bring a lamb to the doorstep and kill him. And he killed the animal, he would catch the blood in the basin of the front of the doorstep. Then he would sprinkle the blood on both sides of the doorpost and above the doorpost. Thus, the entire entrance into the house was covered by the blood of the lamb. We need to be constantly covered by the blood of the lamb. We cannot let our pride, our anger, whatever, get us out of the blood. We are subject to further attacks of the enemy. We're subject to having our peace robbed away. We're subject to so many things, physical, emotional, problems with our children. Can we stay under the blood? Do we fight to stay under the blood? We're talking about right relationship with God now. Are we going to stay in right relationship with God? Then on the evening of the 14th twilight, mentioned the Hebrew day begins in the evening, approximately 6 o'clock. The Hebrews killed the lamb at 3 o'clock in the afternoon on the 14th in order to eat the meal by 6. When 3 o'clock arrived, they slaughtered the lambs and applied the blood to the doorpost. The family then entered their house through the bloodstained door where they were protected from the plague of death that was to move through the land. Okay, all of these instructions and what they did for 1,500 years, you're going to see how Jesus entered Jerusalem for 5 days, was tested, and killed exactly when they killed the lamb as they honored Passover. Now, this is always incredible, Mimi, 1,500 years. And these prophecies came to pass exactly. According to the instructions, the entire lamb was to be roasted and consumed. Nothing left over for the next day. What does that mean? We're supposed to inhale the word of God. We're supposed to inhale the word of God and live by it. Live by it, not cherry pick. It required the lamb to be placed on a spit shaped like a crossbar so that its body could be spread open. Why is this important? You're going to see how they crucified Christ. Although the family went inside the house and couldn't see the blood covering, they had faith that God would save them because of it. We have faith if we accept Jesus Christ because of his blood, we're going to be saved. They ate the meal. God allowed the angel of death to sweep through the land. And if he passed door to door, he sought to enter every household. But if the entrance was covered by blood, the angel of death could not enter, but had to pass over the house. Passover. The blood was a seal protecting the people inside. However, if the entrance was not covered by blood, judgment would come upon that household and the firstborn would die. That's why we have communion. One of the reasons for communion, it says, examine yourself before you take it. Are we right with God? Do you fight every day to be right with God? If you get in an argument, can you get it over with now? Or do you harbor bitterness? You're not right with God if you do. We don't need to harbor any bitterness, anger. We can be right with God every day. We can keep our families intact. You can keep your church family intact. You can keep your businesses intact if it's run by Christians. If Christians ran this nation, you keep the nation intact. But the nation doesn't care about sin. They don't care about being right with God. And they're exploding, and they're going to come under judgment. The Lord's Passover, it used the blood of the lamb to save the people from death. The blood of the lamb made atonement for their sins and was God's way of saving his covenant people. Now, are we covered by the blood? Are we his covenant people? The Lamb made atonement for their sins. Atonement. God's way of saving us. We can have salvation if we accept the blood of the Lamb. Gentiles. It says no uncircumcised person could partake in Passover. Okay, we don't have the benefits of God unless our heart is circumcised. Gentiles could be circumcised, the outward physical foreskin, and they could be part of Israel. We can be circumcised if you accept Christ. Our heart now is right with God. That has been circumcised. When the temple was built, instead of killing the lambs at the doorpost, the people would bring the lambs to Jerusalem to kill them at the temple. That's why Jesus went to Jerusalem. One reason. It was prophesied he would die there. But now they brought the lambs and they brought Christ to the temple for 5 days to be tested by their religious leaders. Now, the Passover celebration was a time of great joy, praise, and adoration in worship to God. Great joy. This should be a joyful day. You know, Satan will try to stop it from being a joyful day. You got to be careful even cooking up your food that ladies don't get grumpy one with another. I'm telling you, EJ has seen me on our trips, especially the last day. Hey, be careful. Guard your heart. Satan's going to try to destroy what we just accomplished in 2 weeks. If Adalia is speaking, Satan will try to cause me to maybe say something and all of a sudden there's an argument and she's speaking. That's pretty hard, isn't it? I have talked to so many pastors. It seems like they constantly get in a fight with their wife. When they get ready to speak. I'm serious. Yes. I am serious. Yes. Why? Because Satan knows if he can distract you, take away your anointing momentarily, get you outside of the blood if you don't forgive right away, you're going to do a lousy job. And more than that, he will attack you until you do get right with God. He wants to destroy you. He wants to destroy your family. Psalms 113, 1 through 18, the people would lead in the singing songs of David, Psalms of David. And Karen's going to lead us in some of those songs this afternoon. The singing was accompanied with musical instruments, trumpets, harps, flutes, tambourines, the cymbals, other instruments. You know, some people say, well, where does it come from in the Bible? It comes from in the Bible. Instruments come in the Bible to help us worship God. Why? Well, I need help. I don't have a great, great voice. And my father did, but I don't. And so I like the instruments and I like the other people helping me sing. Now, as time passed, it was more difficult for people in the outlying areas to bring their sacrifice to Jerusalem. So the Levites began raising lambs for Passover sacrifice right in Jerusalem and selling them at the temple. You know, Jesus went and turned over the money changers. Why? Because they were making merchandise and taking advantage of people. They were gouging them. God doesn't want us to be gouged. We don't want to gouge one another. He doesn't like that. How Jesus fulfilled Passover? 1,500 years, the Jews had been celebrating the Feast of Passover by killing a lamb and offering it as a sacrifice to God. They knew about lambs, but the blood of an animal could only cover their sins. It could not take them away. In view of this, God raised up prophets to explain to the people that one day in the future, a human lamb would come who would deal with the problem of sin and death once and for all. Isaiah spoke of this suffering this human lamb would experience. He wrote it very clearly in Isaiah chapter 53. I don't have time to read it, but you can read it at home. As the time came for this human lamb to be sacrificed, God sent one last prophet to help people recognize who this human lamb was. The prophet was John the Baptist, the forerunner of Jesus. John introduced Jesus with these words, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." Everybody knew what that meant. They were all looking for the future when the human would come as a lamb of God, representing blood sacrifice, which animals used to do. They knew what John was saying. Hey, this is the Messiah. John 1:29. The following day, John again saw Jesus and repeated the startling introduction, "Behold, the Lamb of God." John 1:36. John identified Jesus as the human lamb. Isaiah spoke of him who would give up his life for the sins of the world. For this purpose, Jesus was born, Acts 2, 22 through 23. Because of the religious sacrifices, the religious Jews and other Jews, even secular Jews, immediately understood the significance of John's statement concerning Jesus. Jesus fulfilled the feast of Passover in his crucifixion. Since this was the reason for his being born, he was born to forgive our sins. He was born to take our place, to take our judgment. We don't have to be judged. It's a shame when we judge one another. We don't have to be judged. Jesus' entire life was to fulfill the purpose exactly God instructed the Jews to practice for 1,500 years. Jesus went to Jerusalem knowing he would die. He deliberately went there. Jesus was to be set aside, sacrificed, examined, and crucified on the exact month, day, and hour. The Jews had been handling the lambs for 1,500 years in keeping the feast of Passover. When God established the Passover feast in Egypt, he instructed the Jews to set aside their lambs on the 10th day of the month. In the New Testament, we learned that it was the 10th day of the month of Nisan when Jesus entered Jerusalem to be set aside as a human lamb. Now look at this stuff. This is fascinating. John 12:1, we find Jesus came to the town of Bethany 6 days before Passover. John writes, then 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany. John 12:1. Since Passover was celebrated on the 14th, this would mean Jesus came to Bethany on the 9th. He goes on to say, the next day, a great multitude that had come to the feast when they heard Jesus was coming to Jerusalem took branches of palm trees and went out to meet him and cried, Hosanna. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, the King of Israel. John 12:12 through 13. John says that the next day Jesus rode into Jerusalem and was greeted by the crowds. We learn that Jesus was in Bethany on Saturday the 9th. Jesus entered Jerusalem to be set aside as a human lamb, the human lamb of God, on the exact day that God told the Jews to set aside their lambs in Egypt. Look at this. I don't think any one of our birthdays could match any prophecy 1,500, 2,000 years ago. He was offered to God. God is perfect. He wouldn't offer a lamb to God that wasn't perfect. So the Jews observed and tested the lamb for 5 days to make sure they were faultless. Jesus was tested for 5 days. The human lamb observed, tested for 5 days by the religious leaders. They questioned him and his authority, Matthew 21, 23 through 27. They asked him trick questions, hoping he would give a wrong answer, which they could use against him. They tried. Everything they failed at. He responded perfectly. They couldn't find anything wrong with him. Finally, in desperation, they took him to the Roman governor, whose name was Pilate, hoping he could find something wrong with Jesus. But after interrogating and beating Jesus, Pilate said, I find no fault in him. John 19:4. This has all happened in a 5-day period from the 10th to the 14th when the Jews were checking their lambs for sacrifice. Is it fascinating? Amen. Finally, Jesus was crucified on the 14th. He was not only crucified the same day the lambs were killed, but also the same time of day. Jesus said to his disciples, you know that after 2 days is the Passover, and the Son of Man will be delivered up to be crucified. Matthew 26:2. We know from God's instructions in the Hebrew Scriptures, Passover was on the 14th of Nisan. Jesus tells his disciples he will be crucified on Passover. By a simple calculation, we learned that this was Thursday, since the previous Sunday when Jesus rode was the 10th. Now, Josephus, the first Jewish historian, reported that there were 256,500 lambs killed in Jerusalem that year Jesus was crucified. That's a lot of lambs. With this many lambs, it was necessary for the Jews to prepare them for sacrifice at 9 o'clock in the morning on the 14th. Then they killed them at 3 o'clock that afternoon so the Passover could be completed by 6 o'clock, which would begin a new day. Wow! At the exact hour when Jesus and the Jews were preparing their lambs for sacrifice, Jesus was nailed to the cross. The exact hour. Mark wrote, now it was the third hour and they crucified him. Mark 15:25, the third hour was 9 o'clock in the morning Jewish time. In fulfillment of the Feast of Passover in Isaiah's prophecy, Jesus bore our griefs and carried our sorrows. He was wounded for our transgressions and bruised for our iniquities. The Lord laid on Jesus, the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth like a lamb led to the slaughter. Wow! Total innocence. No anger, nothing, no bitterness. Willing to obey God the Father so we can have eternal life. Willing to give up his life. Willing to forgive. That's why David said, I want God to judge me. Man, I'll tell you what. I have learned I want God to judge me, no person. 3:00, as the people were praising God and slaughtering the lambs, Jesus died. Mark was careful to note the time he wrote down the 9th hour, 3:00, Jewish time, when Jesus breathed his last breath. See Mark 15, 33 through 37. Jesus gave his total self to be roasted and consumed in the fires, judgment fires of God, as he died for our sins. The spit on which the lambs were spread open was shaped like a crossbar and pointed to Jesus hanging on the cross. All the other details concerning the death of the lambs happened to Jesus. The real Lamb of God, for example, his bones were not broken. Remember, God said not to break any bones in the Passover lamb. Exodus 12:46, Numbers 9:12, Psalms 34:20. When a person is crucified, his body sags so he cannot breathe. Roman crucifixion, horrible. This causes him to push up with his heels just long enough to take a deep breath. To hasten the person's death, the Romans would break their legs. Thus, he wouldn't be able to push up and get a breath. John records the soldiers broke the legs of the two thieves who were crucified next to Christ. But when it came to Jesus, they saw he already was dead, and they did not break his legs. Exactly where God gave instructions, do not break any bones in the lamb. This is amazing. How do you arrange your own death at the same time? How do you do it? Other than God himself is there. John 19:31 through 33, Jesus saw this and wrote, John, for these things were done that scriptures should be fulfilled. Not one of his bones will be broken. John 19:36. God had specifically instructed the Jews to consume the whole lamb, nothing left over for the next day. Exodus 12:10. We are supposed to consume the word of God every single day. Amen? We got lamb today after the Seder, and I'm going to consume every bite on my plate. This was the case with Jesus. Exodus 12:10, nothing to be left over for the next day. The Jews, not realizing they were carrying out God's plan, hurriedly took Jesus' body down before 6:00. Wow. John wrote, therefore, it was the preparation day that the bodies not be remain on the cross for the Sabbath, on the Sabbath. For that Sabbath was a high day. The Jews asked Pilate that their legs might be broken and they might be taken away. John 19:31. Jesus, the sacrificial lamb, was not left on the cross the next day, but gave his all on the 14th as the final Passover sacrifice. He gave it all. The Apostle Paul made this connection when he stated, for indeed Christ, our Passover lamb, was sacrificed for us. 1 Corinthians 5:7. If you figure out, again, when Jesus died, it was not on Good Friday. That's a Catholic myth by the Pope. But it was on Thursday. We call it Resurrection Day. We call it Passover. We do not call it Easter, which is Ishtar, serving another god. What does Resurrection Day have to do with bunny rabbits and Easter eggs? That's a fertility goddess of Egypt, Ishtar. Fertility goddess, Ishtar, Easter. We say Passover, the biblical name, Resurrection Day. Again, what do bunny rabbits and Easter eggs have to do with Resurrection Day? Think about it. Other than fertility goddess, do you worship another god? The Bible says that all of us have sinned and that penalty for our sin is death. Romans 3:23 and 6:23. As with the Hebrews back in Egypt, the death angel comes knocking at our door. The writer of Hebrews tells us that the great hold which Satan has on humanity is the fear of death. Hebrews 2:14 through 15. Death is the one subject we don't like to talk about. How many times do you hear a sermon on death? I wonder if you have. Are you afraid to die? We no longer need to fear death because of the resurrection of Christ. He's taken away that sting. 1 Corinthians 15, 51 through 57. Ladies and gentlemen, you don't have to fear death, but you do need to come under the blood. You need to accept Christ as Lord and Savior. He's the only God, the only way of escape. Accept Him today. WorldMinistries.org, WorldMinistries.org, WorldMinistries.org. Help me stay on your local television station, radio stations. God bless you.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Warning Radio with Dr. Jonathan Hansen, founder and president of World Ministries International. Warning Radio is a listener-supported program. We need your donations in order to continue airing these Christ-centered prophetic programs. Send your checks or money orders to World Ministries International, Post Office Box 277, Stanwood, Washington, 98292. To donate securely by phone, call 360-629-5248. Visit our website to find other ways of giving and a wealth of information about World Ministries International and host Dr. Jonathan Hansen. The website is worldministries.org. There, you'll also have access to hundreds of previously aired radio programs, made-for-television videos, thousands of articles, Dr. Hansen's books, and travel itinerary. Again, the website is worldministries.org. The phone number is 360-629-5248. Tune in at this same time, Monday through Friday, on this radio station for the next exciting edition of Warning Radio with Dr. Jonathan Hansen. Remember, the Lord is not slow about the promise of His return, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing for any to perish, but for everyone to come to the repentance that leads to eternal life.